As I mentioned earlier, today is a high feast day. It's one of the seven principal feast days of the church. It is as important as Pentecost, the Transfiguration, Ascension, Christmas. However, throughout the years, it used to be considered, at least, you know, with our Catholic brothers and sisters, a holy day of obligation. But it has sort of fell out of, I guess, our regular conscience, I suppose because Hallmark doesn't make a card and nobody gets any presents. And everything gets focused on the day before, you know, forgetting that Halloween is, you know, was short for Hallows Eve, which the Hallows were those who have been blessed before us. As I said earlier, it is one of the seven principal feast days of the church. And because of that, it takes precedence over the regular Sunday worship. It's always November 1st, and often we will celebrate it the Sunday after. But this Sunday, we actually get to celebrate the feast day on the feast. Now, today is sort of an interesting feast because it is the one principal feast that is not Bible-based. You know, the Ascension, Pentecost, Transfiguration, Christmas, they all, you know, have something to do with the Gospel or the Book of Acts. This alone does not come from the Bible. It is a feast that started probably in the early centuries of the church, you know, at least at the local level. And it was about the 4th or 5th century that you started seeing a little bit greater influence, and they started recognizing it on a greater whole. And about the 9th century, they started having an official day because it was kind of a floating day, or it was kind of different to different areas. And the purpose of All Saints was to recognize those many saints that may have gone unknown, forgotten, or did not receive, you know, an official, you know, big S in front of their name. You know, they didn't have a feast day like St. Francis, who's, you know, October the 4th, or, you know, James the Lesser, or the brother of Jesus, whose feast day is October 23rd, or the various Marian feast days, you know, where we celebrate Mary on December 8th. So these were for people who had been largely forgotten, or maybe the local saints that were not recognized by the bigger church. And so this feast day is for people like you and I, those who have gone before us, who have offered something to God's church, the New Jerusalem. Those people who faith has made a difference, not only in their own lives, but in the lives of others. And maybe nobody kind of noticed it at the time, and maybe they will never get any credit for it, but it's something that they had done throughout their lives that made a difference. Now, generally when we talk about saints, as I said earlier, we think about the ones with the big S and little T in front of their name. But if you read Paul's letters, he often refers to the saints as a living, breathing group of people. When he talked about the saints and the future saints, he meant the members of the church. Not somebody who was way up there in heaven, but those who were actually showing up. People like you and I. Each of us are saints. Each of us are called to make a difference, to proclaim the good news. I love that that visual in our reading from the Wisdom of Solomon of running like a spark through the grass. Has anybody ever seen a grass fire? You know that they often start small, and without very much wind behind them, suddenly will sweep into a great fire. And this is what Solomon is writing about. Those whose faith, whose deeds start off like that little spark and create this great roaring fire of faith. I see Dick shaking his head, and you know, I'm sure he's put out many a few grass fires in his life, and realizing it's more often than not, it was from somebody's tailpipe or some little spark. It was never a big fire. Now, think about your faith and what a little spark of that can accomplish, the changes that can happen, that snowball effect that you may never know. You know, more often than not, the differences we make in a person's life, especially when it comes to faith, we may never know about. You know, maybe years, if you're down the line, somebody will come and say to you, you know, something you said long ago really got me thinking, and eventually it got me to start coming to church. Or that little act, that little invitation that you gave me made a difference eventually. Now, I've shared a little bit of my story that the reason I got back to church had to do with an act that happened maybe 7 years before I started coming to church on a regular basis. I was in my early 20s, and like early 20-year-old, like 20-year-olds do in their early 20s, we were having a bit of a party at our house. You know, actually it was more than a bit of a party, but and in the midst of it, we got talking to somebody who was members of an Episcopal church, and they had invited us to church, and it seemed like a good idea at the time until we had to wake up early the next morning. But the promise, well, actually, they invited us to breakfast, but then they said that the caveat was that we had to go to church first with them. And, you know, young men and free food is usually enough incentive. And it was, you know, I went to the Episcopal Church, St. Mark's Crow Cathedral in Nebraska. Nebraska, you know, is a small diocese church-wise, but we only have one cathedral there. Nebraska has two. And I went to the church that morning, and it was wonderful. And to be honest, I wasn't ready. But a few years later, about 7 years later, when I was looking for that spiritual side of me, you know, that spiritual side was needing to be fed. And I started looking around and started thinking about faith, and it hit me that, you know, I really enjoyed going to that Episcopal church that I was invited to that many years ago. And lo and behold, I lived across the street in a block down from an Episcopal church, so it was also convenient. And it led me to go eventually to that church. I'll tell you, it wasn't the first Sunday. I mean, it took me quite a few, I was in my 20s, you know, it's like getting up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday just wasn't my forte. But I eventually got to the church, and and the wonderful thing is once I got there, I was lovingly accepted. Nobody pushed me into anything. I was invited to participate in various ministries and activities, and lo and behold, if I would have known what was going to happen, I'd probably gone to the Presbyterian, not true. No, it was a wonderful thing. But it is that part of, I'm sure when they invited me to church that morning, nobody really ever expected, you know, anything to ever, come of it. So you never know what that invitation may lead to. In our readings today, in our gospel, Jesus shows what faith can do, and that is the faith of people who see something happen, but yet believe that the impossible is possible. You have the story of his friend Lazarus dying, and he's greeted on the road first by the sister Lazarus, Mary. This is Mary of Bethany, not to be mistaken with Mary Magdalene. There's a lot of Marys inside the Gospels. And that's because that was the name of, you know, that was the name of Mary, you know, of Moses' sister Miriam. You know, it was all, so many of them were named after the great, you know, the sister of the one of the great founders of the faith. And she meets him on the road, and of course, there's almost like this accusation that if you were here. And of course, he asks where her brother is buried, and he starts to weep, which I find is comforting, because the idea that we often think of Jesus in this term of, you know, very God, but sometimes we forget that he's also very man, you know, very human. And that part that even though Jesus knows what's going to happen, or at least he has an inclination because we're told that he's feeling disturbed about this, even Jesus feels the sadness of the loss of a friend. A very human response, which really ties us to Jesus. And he gets led to the tomb, and of course the other sister, Martha, is there. And Jesus tells him to roll the stone. And I'm sure they're probably thinking, oh, he just wants to look upon, you know, his long-lost friend, you know, his late friend one last time. Now, in Jewish culture, you know, unlike ours where, you know, there's 2, 3, 4 days with the embalming, all that, it's like you're buried within, like, a very short period of time. And, of course, in this part of the world, it's not exactly cool. And, of course, you have Mary, you know, you have Martha who's warning and saying there's already a stench. You know, and, you know, I love, there's, if you look at a lot of Greek icons of the rising of Lazarus, you know, I love, one thing I love about iconology, you always see, you often see about 90% of the time in a picture of the rising of Lazarus, way in the tiny corner, you'll see a little teeny tiny guy holding his nose, expecting the worst. And I'm sure all of them are sitting here going, you know, as they're, I'm sure they're, as they're thinking, well, let's humor the guy. They're all basically getting ready for something really horrible. But instead, their faith, even though they didn't have any clue what could happen, we have Lazarus returning. Now, this is a little bit of taste of what's going to come with Jesus' resurrection. This is sort of a forewarning. But it's also a forewarning of ourselves, that one day we too, after we die, will be raised again, not in this mortal body, but with that cloud of witnesses, those saints that have gone before us. Those men, those women, those children who have made a difference. Now, in a little bit, we're going to be receiving communion, and in communion, is part of that where we come together with generations past and generations that will come after us to celebrate the life, the death, the resurrection, and the promise that Christ has given us. To once again be with those saints, to be before God, praising Him, to be united with those whom we loved, and that opportunity to tell those people who made a difference that they did so. My sisters and brothers, today, this wonderful feast of All Saints, as I said, I'm so happy that it fell on a Sunday so we could celebrate it together. This feast is about those men and women who came before us, but it's also about all of us, for each of us is a saint. Each of us can make a difference. And I'm sure each of us has already made a difference just being here. So my brothers and sisters, rejoice. Know that the King of Glory has come, and know that you are part of this wonderful, beautiful New Jerusalem. People often wonder when they talk about the New Jerusalem where that's going to be or if it's the old one. Well, the church, each and every one of us, is part of that New Jerusalem. That holy city, that place in which God is made known. So my brothers and sisters, I invite you to celebrate and rejoice.